Well, life on the farm, I kinda laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. My tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woohoo!
Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It is our monthly update. Being the first Monday of the month, we always do an update with Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Hey, Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. No, there he's on. Hey, Ryan, how you doing, man?
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh man, I'm doing fantastic. So we got a lot of stuff to get to today. But just because I always like to give people a reminder of, you know, what's your activity like right now? What are you in the middle of doing at the end of March and April?
Well, we've talked before about meeting season. There are a lot of off-season meetings and different things you go to try to keep the ball rolling in agriculture. So we've had tons of meetings, you know, all over the country. And two things that we've done since the last time I spoke with everyone is some annual things we have on our farm where we get people out to the farm and teach them a little bit about what we do. We had our Jenkins Farms Ag Career Day, which is geared toward the high school students, the FFA kids, the Future Farmers of America kids, showing them that there are many different careers in agriculture that are out there that are not necessarily the guy that owns the farm or the guy that's driving the tractor, you know, so that they can still feel connected to their roots and still feel a part of agriculture, but doing something a little bit different than what we do on our farm. So we had close to 100 students there. And like, I think there was 14 different presenters there talking about each of their careers and how they got to where they are. And then the following week, we had our annual Farm Safety Day, which is all geared toward first responders. You know, we had anywhere from EMTs and paramedics to ER nurses and doctors, firefighters, police, everybody that would be involved in an agricultural accident from the beginning, kind of through the patient's care. And, you know, with my past LifeLight and EMS experience along with my farming experience, you know, I felt like I had a unique perspective to show people the types of injuries and the types of accidents that they could expect just here in our local area on the farm. So that was a huge day for us. We had well over 100 people in attendance for that.
Wow, that's great.
Two things that we're excited about, you know, it's just helping connect the dots for some people. So we're real thankful to be able to do that.
You know, since not a lot of sort of news on the farm going on right now, which I never know when I talk to you whether I still remember the one time when you came on and said our spreader is broken and I don't have the ability to get another one and I'm going to have to go. I found one in my own junk pile because I hadn't come and picked up the junk yet. Like that's the kind of stuff that you deal with all the time. That is amazing to me that, you know, basically your farm life that year depended on that particular luck, you know, fact sort of thing. But one of the things, you know, we hear an awful lot about is farmland being taken over for development, which, you know, people get older, they die, their property gets managed by their kids sell it, or somebody comes along with a pretty hefty price tag and says, hey, you know, we'd like to buy your land, or just, you know, people have been holding it forever and ever, and then they finally change their mind. They think they can make more money building something on it than growing stuff on it. What's being done to prevent that? Because in the overall, if that happens too much, eventually we don't eat and we don't have clothes. I mean, this is a problem overall.
It is, and it's a problem that we're really dealing with in our local counties here. You know, the cities are moving to the country. Everybody's tired of the city life, or a lot of people are tired of the city life, will move to the country and buy themselves, quote, unquote, a farm, you know, which to them is 2 acres or 5 acres or whatever. They want to buy a piece of land and do their thing and maybe have a little bit more privacy. But as we're doing that, we're losing farmland. American Farmland Trust, I think we've talked about that on here before. They did a study from 2001 to 2016. And during that entire time frame, America was losing 2,000 acres a day to development. Well, since 2015, numbers I got from the USDA, the Department of Agriculture, now shows that from 2015 to now, we're losing about 5,000 acres a day.
Oof.
And wow. I'm telling you, people need to wake up. We cannot continue to lose this farmland and still be independent. There's going to come a time, and we're almost there, to where we're going to be dependent on other countries for our food, and we do not. I'm telling you, if you don't hear anything else I say, we do not want to be dependent on another country for our food and fiber. We just don't want to do that. They are in control of you then, right?
Which has always been a great source of power, leverage, and independence for the United States, being that we are the exporter of so much, the breadbasket of the world, right? That we do that has been a tremendous source of foreign strength and domestic security, right?
That's right. And people are just hearing me right now, and it's going in one ear and out the other, because nobody's hungry and nobody's naked. I mean, that's the bottom
line. Speak for yourself.
It's going to require, yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Let me rephrase that. Most people aren't hungry and most people aren't naked.
But right.
But
they're not. The problem is not dire and pressing in your personal life right now. Right.
That's right. But once it gets to that point, we're going to be too far gone and there's not going to be any turning back. Once someone actually becomes hungry or doesn't have clothes to wear and we're there, we're too far gone. We'll never be able to go back. So that's why this is so important. I know it's hard for a lot of people to see it because of those reasons, but we have got to do something to slow this growth down and protect our farmland. And so there, now, the things I'm about to speak about, I'm not an expert on. I know the very tip of the iceberg, right? It's in-depth.
Well,
stuff,
you're the tip of the spear. I mean, you're the tip of the spreader. I mean, you know, the tip of the tiller, whatever. And tell me some solutions, because otherwise it's just, like, frustrating, which, I mean, sometimes life is just frustrating. But what can realistically be done, what is being done, to try to protect farms and farmland from encroachment and development that, you know, is dangerous to our status as a net exporter of food?
Well, you know, it's a very slippery slope, right? Because basically we want to tell you what you can do with your land, but then it not be the same for us. I mean, that's kind
right.
of what, that's in the ideal world, that's what we'd want. We'd want to just protect all the farmland, but we'd still be able to sell it when we needed to or whatever.
Right. And that's so the problem it's a transaction for the person who owns it. Is they can make more doing something other than farm with it. That's why they do it.
That's correct. And we don't want to get it to where we devalue any land or make it where someone can't sell their land if they need to. But a couple of the things that have been working in other parts of the country and that, you know, Florida is getting into, one is conservation easements. So that is where you take a piece of land and then you make it where it can't be developed. So that is usually between, like, for us, let's just talk about agriculture today. Let's just talk strictly farmland. They have it for other things, but let's just talk strictly what we're here to talk about today, and that's farming. So basically a farmer could partner up, and it's going to typically be from a government entity, say, meaning that's where the money's going to come from. They would pay you X number of dollars per acre for you to say, all right, I've got a contract with you. You pay me this money. And it's a perpetual agreement. It just goes on forever and ever and ever from that day. That land can never be developed. So they'll pay you a sum of money. You tell them you're never going to develop that land. It's always going to be in production agriculture, and then the transaction's made. That's the simplest way to put it that I know. So that's something that would have to be funded by the government.
Okay, so the government is
so
basically paying
an
easement subsidy. They compensate you for agreeing to turn that land into permanent farmland conservation status, which you can sell that land, but the land's going to always carry that easement with it because of the price. And is that they pay you up front and also a monthly or like an annual, or how does that work?
No. It's for lack of a better term, just like selling your land. I mean, it's a price, a significant price that's paid just like if you were selling your land, but
okay.
You're not actually selling your land.
Okay. So you sell
so
the
you
easement and then you own the land. Okay.
That's right. You continue to own the land. You continue to use it and all that. Basically, and I'm probably not using the right terminology in this, so don't tear me apart out there, but basically you're selling your development rights. You can't do anything with that land other than farm it from there on out. And so you get a one-time sum for that, and you can go with it. But the thing about it, you know, you can turn around and try to buy other farmland with it, or or whatever the case. It's your money, just like if you were selling the actual land, like we're all used to doing, except you're just selling the right.
How much compared to like market value? How much do you get from the conservation easement sale typically? I mean, is it enough to really motivate sales?
It is. It is. Okay. I don't have that number. I have heard it, but I don't want to say it on the air because I don't remember it that good.
Okay.
I think I remember what it is. It's significant. It's not just a few hundred dollars. It's in the thousands. So it's up there like if you were selling your land.
Okay.
And then another thing that they're doing is transfer of development rights. And so there again, I'm not the expert here. I'm just telling you my synopsis of it is basically Mr. Home Developer somewhere wants to develop a plot of land and turn it, let's just say, into a subdivision, but it's not zoned to be able to do that. He could come to a farmer and say, hey, I need to buy some development rights. And then the thing about this program is this is a negotiation between the developer and the farmland owner that the government doesn't have to be involved in. There's no money coming out of the government's pocket. There's no grants or anything like that to make that program work. So this is strictly a business deal between a developer and a farmland owner. Hey, I need to buy your development rights so that I can put them down here on this piece of land that I want to build a subdivision on so that I can build my subdivision. And so by doing that, the farmer's selling his development rights just like in the, basically just like in the conservation easement deal that we just spoke of, where that farmland from now on forevermore has to be farmland.
Hmm.
And they're taking his rights and moving it to another piece of land so that someone could build there that couldn't build there before.
That's interesting because at first you think it's going to be like mining rights, but then you're actually selling access to the land where the mining rights are. But in this case, you're actually transferring the development rights from one place to another in order to get the ability to build where you couldn't build before in exchange. That's interesting. By the way, I'm getting communications in from a variety of local officials saying they love it. Some of them support it. Some of them, you know, already the state of Florida does a lot of stuff in this regard. So you have allies in this. You know, this is something that people are caring about and they are in support.
We need allies. We need to all be worried about what we see happening around us. I understand a lot of people want growth and growth is good and all that. My plea is let's be smart about it. Let's don't waste our resources because I'm telling you, once a house is planted out in the middle of the field, there will never be another peanut, another cotton, another corn, another soybean, nothing else planted there. It's going to be houses. So we've got to be smart with what we have and what God's given us and use it to the best of our abilities to help sustain us, right?
Yeah. So, yep.
That's what we've got to be looking at for the future.
And I think this is something that a lot of your elected leaders are, you know, they're grasping or already grasp more and more. And just like base protection, you know, you've got to do things to protect the military mission. You're going to have to do things to protect the agricultural mission. It might look a little bit different, but
that's,
you
right,
know, these are things that ultimately matter for all of us. And, you know, trying to, you know, shape that in a way that makes sense to all parties and, you know, doesn't have to violate people's property rights. That's the ideal solution. Ryan Jenkins, he's the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, we always like to end with a farm fact of some kind. Do you have one for us this week?
Yeah, I do. In Santa Rosa, you know, we're getting ready to plant. I hope by the time we talk next week, next month, uh-huh, we will have planted some peanuts. Santa Rosa County usually has between 20 and 22,000 acres of peanuts every year. And that, the yield that we get from that would make about 630 million peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Nice. And is that going to be up this year because people are planting peanuts instead of cotton?
Peanuts are going to be up this year, yes. That's
very
correct.
Very good.
That
all right.
That is not changed.
Very good. Ryan Jenkins, owner Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And, you know, I know it's just me talking to you, but trust me, there's all kinds of people texting me in their support for this as well. But we believe in what you're doing. We appreciate what you're doing. And we like our kids to eat and have clothes, too. So thank you for doing what you do, sir. I appreciate you.
Thank you. We appreciate you, too. Have a great week.